we present the News Quiz with your host, Miles Jupp.
Welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Watford Observer, read by Neil Sleet.
A group of primary school children toured the Houses of Parliament this week, thanks to their guide, Watford MP Richard Harrington. The children had an opportunity to grill Mr. Harrington before lunch.
Our thanks to Ian Pankhurst for sending that in. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Hugo Rifkind and Katie Brand. And opposite them on my left, stand-up comedian Kiri Pritchard-McLean and Rich Hall. Hugo, who's been campaigning till she's blue in the face?
This would presumably be Theresa May, because there's an election on. Have you heard about that? I hope we're not breaking this for Radio 4, but there is an election on. Theresa May's had quite a good week. She certainly had a better week than anybody else. Better week than Tim Farron. People keep asking Tim Farron whether he thinks gay sex is a sin, and he won't say, or at least he hadn't. He eventually said, but it had to get dragged out of him. And it's difficult because some people think it's a sin to think that gay sex is a sin, and other people think it's a sin to think it's a sin that gay sex is a sin, and some people think it's a sin to think it's a sin to think it's a sin that gay sex is a sin. And poor Tim Farron has had to talk about all of this when he wants to be talking about Brexit, which he thinks is a sin. So that's tough. But for Theresa May, she's discovered that the Tories could win a majority in Wales for, the first time in a century, which is completely remarkable for them, if it happens, perhaps less so for Wales. But she's had... The only real problem there's been for Theresa May this week is she can't decide whether or not to keep the triple lock, which, for those who don't know what the triple lock is the thing they've got on the door of Boris Johnson's office to keep him from getting out and going on the television. And that broke, and he called Jeremy Corbyn a mutton-headed mugwump.
Mutton-headed old mugwump.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Otherwise, it would have been almost complimentary.
Yeah.
Do you know what a mugwump is? I looked it up. There's two versions of what a mugwump is. One version is a sort of politically neutral person, and the other is a insect-headed drug hallucination from a William Burroughs novel that squirts jism from its antennae.
So, that sounds more like a description of Boris Johnson.
I just wonder which one he was going for.
Yeah.
My mum used to call me a mugwump when I was a little boy. And I know which one she was going for. Unstoppable at times. Yep.
Did you hear, I think it was on BBC Radio Derby, I think it was, Theresa May was on, and they asked her the question, do you know what a mugwump is? And she said, what I recognise is that what we need in this country is strong and stable leadership.
How do you feel about it all, Kiri?
Well, I'm scared because I live up north. And it's going to be like Mad Max soon. It's amazing because he's foreign secretary and he should be giving meaningful speeches about things that matter. And then he says a weird word. And you're right, that's all anyone can concentrate on. He's a foreign secretary, not the BFG.
Rich, have you you've been following this with considerable interest?
No. I'm American. I got my own set of problems. I don't have time to worry about Boris Johnson.
You're not worried about triple-lock pensions disappearing or swing to the right
of Wales? I'm worried that the world's going to blow up tomorrow because some comb-over orangutan in America has been given a nuclear football. As an American, the whole idea of being able to call a snap election to me is... reeks of overconfidence or non-confidence. You're sailing through this sea of Brexit negotiations and all of a sudden you've just, hey, let's get everybody on deck and hey, does anybody interested in a mutiny? You just don't. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you just do your job? Because if you're campaigning, then that's taken away from the fact that you have to pay attention to your job as prime minister. You understand what I'm saying? You can't just... Hey, it's not a rally, people. I'm just saying you don't, Is everybody happy with this rant so far? I could bring somebody else in and they could finish it. I don't understand why you... She's got, 64% majority?
It just feels like we've all been gathered for Theresa May's 10th birthday party and we all have to sit round and watch her open all her presents.
disrespectful. It's disrespectful to the people who originally supported her. Hmm. I mean, I could go out on the street, people, and get a better audience than you. One of you could clap and cheer and carry me off on their shoulders, but I'm sticking with you people.
Why does Nicola Sturgeon think the election's been called?
I think something like crush Scottish independence in some sort of way or something like that.
She has raised the question if it's actually all about Tory election expenses fraud and the whole thing is a smokescreen.
Theresa May said she fully supports all the MPs who are being investigated, and they are, a lot of them are standing again, aren't they? So does everything just stop? Is it like...
Well, I guess the thing is, it's not that it would it stops the inquiry, but if most likely what would have happened if they'd been found to do something wrong is there'd have to be another election. Hmm. So if there's another election anyway, that's that one dealt with.
What is the strategy behind calling an election? Is it to consolidate your support?
Yeah. Well, I think she feels maybe that her support is at its highest point now.
So it's this like renewing her subscription.
Yeah.
It's about the way she's sort of a pattern she's noticed over her life, I suppose. She thinks, right, you know, she's met a new bunch of people, they seem to like her. After 2 or 3 years, they just drift away. She's lived that tens and tens of times, and she doesn't want it to happen again, Rich. It's almost heartbreaking.
I also think, quite seriously, in 2020, I think Sadiq Khan will be in a position to become Labour leader, won't he? And he would be quite a formidable opponent, I should think.
I've not heard that raised. You think that specifically?
No, I feel like I might have made that up on my own. Yeah. I put it out there and I'm growing in confidence with it.
Well, I mean, he did tell me that wasn't his plan, actually.
Well,
oh, right. No, I interviewed him a couple of months ago for GQ, and mm-hmm. he insists he's going to do 2 terms as mayor, and there's no plans to come back and take control of the car crash that is the Labour Party. Those weren't his exact words.
Okay.
But they were close, actually.
But there's no precedent at all, is there, for politicians saying they're not going to try and become leader? We should definitely take him at his word on that.
Well, they're the Mayor of London.
You interviewed him for GQ magazine.
Yeah.
And you go, that's good. What does he think of the high-waisted pleated trouser?
He's very good at skipping, actually, was the main thing I learned.
Really?
Yeah. We were in a boxing gym, because his brother runs a boxing gym, and he can skip like anything, can Sadiq Khan.
He demonstrates.
Oh, yes.
It.
Yeah. Wow. Up, down, up, down, up, down.
All the skipping directions, he had both of them absolutely covered. It really was extraordinary to see. Generally, this is Theresa May's fight to remain Prime Minister of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, a fight which, if current polling is to be believed, increasingly resembles an attempt by Usain Bolt to win the 100 metres while wearing rocket-powered shoes on a day when all the other runners have mysteriously failed to turn up. The polls even suggest that the Conservatives could come out on top in a general election in Wales for the first time in 100 years. And you can understand why the Welsh would be happy to have the Conservatives in power. They are the safe option. They've already destroyed the country's industrial base once. They can't very well do it again. Following this week's PMQs, speculation grew that the Conservatives will drop triple-locked pensions and replace them with a cheaper double lock. Although many pensioners remember a time when you didn't need a lock on your pension at all. In fact, you could leave your pension unlocked all day long and not have to worry about it, and your neighbours could wander in and out of your pension whenever they pleased, and also there were fewer foreigners. Two points to Hugo. Katie, what's the position of the opposition?
Well, this is about, obviously, Jeremy Corbyn and Tim Farron and all the other parties who are opposing the government in the general election. But I think everyone was waiting for Jeremy Corbyn to tell us what the Labour Party is going to be all about in this general election. And then I felt like the first thing I heard was that we were going to get 4 new bank holidays. And I thought, OK. I thought, that's nice, Jeremy, that's nice. Like, I'm not going to complain about 4 new bank holidays, but it does sort of feel like, you know, if your house is burning down and your neighbour comes around with a cashmere cushion. But there are obviously other Labour policies which have come to light about NHS pay, for example. I think they are looking for to abolish the pay cap, I think, for NHS workers. But as luck would have it, the 1% pay rise for nurses is roughly equivalent to £350 million. So, how odd.
I don't think we should have more bank holidays. I think we can't cope with the ones we've got. May bank holidays, we've got quite a lot, haven't we? People go bonkers. Normal people can't. Obviously, comedians do, because it's just a normal. It's what we do, isn't it? You just get up at noon and hate your family. But you guys can't cope with it. You all just panic and realise that, you know, you've got to go back to your job soon and you need to do something meaningful, so you run off to an old house. Like...
The main thing Labour did this week was they announced their Brexit policy. Keir Starmer, Sir Keir Starmer, I should say, who I always worry about. He always looks very surprised, like he's just remembered he's not a Tory. You know, he's just standing.
You probably recognise, Hugo.
Why, thank you.
I always think he looks like he can't decide what hairstyle he wants to have.
He has the something about Mary hairstyle, doesn't he? He goes straight up. Probably spending too much time with a mugwump, yeah. I'd have thought. the problem Labour has with Brexit is that they've got these two entirely separate constituencies that they need to appeal to, the kind of metropolitan lefties and people in sort of provincial towns and in the north and in Wales as well, and they no longer have anything in common, and they've got to appeal to both of them. It's like if you have two people coming for dinner and one of them is a hardcore vegan and the other one is a lion. You've got to serve them both the same thing. What do you do? And that is Labour's predicament, and they have no idea how to solve it.
Do you know how you tell if someone's a vegan?
It's probably easier to tell if someone's a lion, isn't it?
I mean, obviously, you can feed the vegan to the lion, and that solves half your problem.
I think vegans are heroes. I genuinely think they're amazing. I think they make an incredibly difficult lifestyle choice to make the world a better place. If they could bring themselves to eat the alt-right, I think they would solve all our problems.
Has any opposition party or group mentioned veganism? They have not, let me tell you.
I think Tim Farron thinks it's a sin. Yeah.
Specifically, these are the campaigning efforts of the opposition parties, where as part of his inexorable long march to power, Jeremy Corbyn this week received the backing of the Communist Party of Great Britain. And those guys know how to pick a winner. Labour announced plans for a massive boost in spending on the NHS, while Conservatives responded that a strong NHS needs a strong economy, painting an exciting picture of the future where women going through the excruciating pain of childbirth are admitted to NHS maternity units and offered the choice of an epidural or a strong economy and a wooden spoon to bite on. Labour pledged four new bank holidays named after our national saints, intended to promote greater unity in the UK. And imagine the simple wonder come St David's Day when a man in Buckinghamshire might spare a moment thinking about what it might be like to be a very similar man in Caerphilly, also failing to put up some shelves. So, to summarise, the first full week of campaigning, we've learned that the Conservative election slogan is strong and stable leadership. The Lib Dems is, I do like gay sex. No, wait, hang on. And the Labour Party's is the lengthy rasping rattle of impending death. So, however you'd spell that. 2 points to Katie. Rich, who's been booed in Berlin?
Ivanka Trump. Miles was booed in Berlin by German. Boy, when the Germans are booing you. What have you done wrong? We don't approve of this. No. I think because she went over and she, like a G20 summit, but for women to, you know, celebrate the empowerment of 20 G women. And then, you know.
At the door, the G women have arrived. Yeah.
So then Ivanka just kind of rocks up, and I'm sure that, you know, this is Christine Lagarde, this is the foreign minister of Canada. These were, I guess, just it must have just felt like, who the hell invited you? You know, I'd like to see Donald show up, that would have been great, but to send his daughter and then to stand up for her dad to talk about, oh, he's very supportive of family values. What, your dad? It's like Nancy Sinatra. How did she... Oh, I get it. That's why she's in show business, because her dad was Frank Sinatra. But let's face it, boots. It's a whole song written from instructions that you got when you bought a pair of boots. That's what the song is. It's got nothing to do with that. But
if you bought a pair of boots and you read the manuals, it said, one day these boots are going to walk all over. Yeah. Footwear that's going to rise up against me.
conceivably be the instrument.
She said something really charming at one point. She said, I grew up in a house where there was no barrier to what I could accomplish. But that's not good parenting, isn't it? That's just growing up white and rich in America.
She definitely comes over better than any other member of the Trump family because she's the only one who doesn't look sweaty and nervous.
The one I enjoyed watching in that clip was Angela Merkel, who looked like, because she is so under control and composed, but you can see if you just watch her in the clip where Ivanka is talking about how her father is a great supporter of women and how he's always supported her, it's like she's sort of, her face is composed, but she's gripping the microphone into dust. It was quite an incredible show of control, I thought.
Do you think the people that went in to clean up after, so every scene, full of every, there were loads of snapped pencils?
Yeah. It's like Angela Merkel just thinking, I will not beat her with my shoe. I will smile and be good. Good Angela, good Angela.
The moderator's first question to Ivanka was, so you're the first daughter, explain what that is, because we don't have them in Germany. Which I thought was just very, it's like brilliant German passive aggression.
It sounds, first daughter sounds like a term that they use for clarity on a DNA special on Jeremy Kyle, doesn't it?
Who has Trump summoned for a briefing on North Korea this week?
All the senators, isn't it?
The entire Senate, 100 senators, went to the White House to be briefed by senior administration officials about the brewing confrontation, should we call it, with North Korea. Anyone know what he said to them?
No, but it's entirely manufactured by him, isn't it? It's now being talked about as if it's the inevitability of war with North Korea, as if this was always going to happen and it was always on the cards. But basically, he went up to a wasp's nest and kicked it and then kind of wandered back and went, oh, no, the wasps are coming. It's not inevitable. It didn't have to happen, does it?
Not a big wasp nest, though, is it? Even if they have missiles, they're not going to reach... They could only reach America by FedEx.
What do we learn that President Trump has on his desk in the Oval Office this week?
A severed head. Yeah. A severed head executive desk toy.
I'll tell you what it is. He has a special wooden box on his desk in the White House, and it contains a single button. And when he presses that button, a butler brings him a glass of Coca-Cola. Which is the sort of thing a child who had unexpectedly come into millions and millions of dollars...
There's a red button that controls nuclear weapons and a red button that controls serving Coke sooner or later. Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't even like Coca-Cola. He keeps trying to start
side
a nuclear
by
war. Formicaciously, these are the adventures of Ivanka Trump, who this week attended a G20 women's summit in Berlin, where she was booed and jeered by the crowd, which is remarkable, really, given that crowds in Germany tend to give right-wing political figures at worst the benefit of the doubt. President Trump has faced criticism in Germany for giving such a significant foreign policy role to his daughter, but in fairness, he'd already got her a pony the year before, and, well, where'd you go after that? Vouchers simply wouldn't cover it. Also this week, Donald Trump briefed the Senate about new sanctions for North Korea and proposed what could amount to a huge tax cut for the rich, although his administration are describing it as a helpful simplification of the tax code. Now, Americans just have one page to fill out on their tax return with one question and two tick boxes. Are you A, very rich, or B, too weak from starvation to lift your pen? 2 points to Rich. And at the end of round one, the scores are Hugo and Katie have 5 and Kiri and Rich have 4. We start round two with a typo spotted on the Universe Today website.
Ever since the discovery of the Higgs boson particle, CERN in Switzerland has been dedicated to furthering the study of physics. To this end, an experiment was set up involving a large hadron collider.
Our thanks to Liz Cole in New Zealand for sending us that. Kiri, qui encercle le whirlpool?
Oh, yeah, it's all kicking off outside a factory, isn't it? In France, for the elections, Macron turned up at this factory to sort of appeal to speak to the unions about shutting it down, trying to get a better deal for the workers there. And then Le Pen rocks up outside the factory gates and was like, I'm here to speak to the people, and sort of painted herself as a saviour of the people. And then he got angry at that and went down to the gates, and they had this sort of face-off in front of the camera, like a West Side Story kind of thing. It's so weird because Macron as well is known for, like, he goes out into the crowds like Jesus walks amongst them. So apparently he, like, gets in his critics' faces. Like, anyone who's criticising, he'll go down and through the crowds and talk to them. I tried to do that once at a gig in Hartlepool. I lost a shoe. I quite like him. I think she's a nightmare. Racism is having a great year, isn't it? It's like vinyl. It's coming back.
I think that's why she went to a washing machine factory, because she enjoys seeing the settings that say coloured and white.
I was just amazed that anyone's... Who's building tumble dryers? Who's still buying tumble dryers? Is that just me? Let your shirts dry on a radiator and go crispy like the rest of us, you bourgeois pigs.
They do. I mean, to keep your towels, I mean, genuinely fluffy. What job does Marine Le Pen no longer have?
So she stood down as the leader of the National Front. And it's the weirdest thing that you've got the actual National Front and she's actually running for president from the National Front. It's like, I mean, it's a bit like if, you know, there was a German election and the Nazis were running. And everyone was like, no, 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 it's not the Nazis. They're completely different. It's a complete new broom. They're totally different now. And you go, all right, well, who's leading the Nazis now? And they go, Adele Hitler. It's like, what? How can this... What are you talking about? How can this be happening?
She stopped gigging then, has she? That's a turn up. Blimey. But it's hilarious that if it's like she just stood down and it's like, does she think people are just going to forget? Like, oh, who's this Marine Le Pen?
It's like when you go to a nightclub, you don't get in and you swap your jumper with your mate and then you get in. That's what she's going to do.
Efficaciously, these are the latest goings-on in the French election, where the action this week revolved around the workforce of a tumble-dryer factory. Of course, British politicians avoid these sorts of problems by ensuring well in advance that we don't have any factories. All of this makes me pine for the days of pre-revolutionary France, where instead of having elections, the man with the curliest hair would automatically become king. 2 points to Curry. Rich, yeah. Who should be following in their grandmother's footsteps?
I don't know. Somebody's got a lot of time on their hands and has conducted some study that the best way to shoot a free throw in basketball is granny style, underhanded, if you take the ball and hurl it from the ground up into the basket, and then it comes down in a perfect arc. But it's bullshit, because it looks stupid. And these are men who are going to have to, you know, go back in the dressing room and undress with...
Yeah,
every
thanks
teammate.
For scoring all those points, Dave.
Yeah.
Looking like an idiot.
Yeah. So it's there's no finesse to it. It doesn't look cool. Hey, you know, Keith Richards could play his solos a lot better if he pulled up a chair and sat down, but he doesn't he? It looks stupid.
Because apparently it's the same in cricket, that, like, if you throw it underarm, you're more likely to... hit the wicket or whatever it's called.
Possibly if you're a spin bowler. I don't know about that, but yeah. It looks...
If you're fielding your cricket, you're more likely to hit the stumps.
Oh. I could be better at bowling if I just picked up the bowling ball and hurled it overhand at the guy I'm bowling with. That's what makes all sports watchable, is the finesse, you know?
Yeah, if the two sides in football took it in turns to play, yeah, rather than both being on the pitch at the same time, it would be more effective but less entertaining. I can see that.
Well, that's kind of what a penalty shootout is, isn't it? They're taking in turns, and I think it works jolly well.
don't look at me. I'm almost as posh as you. I've no idea what you're talking about.
I thought I'd steer you onto more familiar
almost.
Ground with
you. Are, I'm gonna quibble with this, Hugo, because you are irrefutably posher than me.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I just felt it was a point worth making.
That was the equivalent of a brawl.
Why might this research have annoyed the monkey community?
Whoa.
Oh, I know.
Who we
this.
Know are touchy.
There was a quote, wasn't it, saying that other animals throw things. And monkeys throw things, but they're just not very good at it because they don't aim at anything. They just throw it without bothering to see where it goes. Is that right?
That's right. Accurate throwing is a trait unique to humans. Monkeys do throw things, but they are bad at it.
Exactly which other animals throw things?
Apart from monkeys?
Yeah.
Like well, parrots will throw
yeah,
sticks.
Gazelles throw, don't they?
Yeah.
They,
yeah.
Gazelles?
Yeah, well, they play frisbee. which other animals throw? I mean, which animals don't throw, Rich? When you're not at your ranch, your horses... Oh, my word. Horologically, this is the news that a scientific study suggests that the best way to perform a free throw in basketball is to employ the granny throw, slow and underarm. This is all according to research carried out by Yale. We assume the university, but based on the importance of this scientific breakthrough, it could just as easily be the Locks people. So, to the chagrin of PE teachers everywhere, it turns out that if you want to throw accurately, the best way to learn is by emulating your grandmother, and not by having an overweight man with a bowl-cut hairdo and an unwashed tracksuit repeatedly shouting into your tear-streaked face. Anyway, slow and underarm is the best way to throw a basketball, while overarm and running in at speed is the best way to throw confetti. 2 points. 2 points. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting that they'd like to share? Hugo.
Yes. This was sent in by Matt DeRee, and it's a tweet from a farm-based meat supplier in Devon. They've tweeted, "We've partnered with gold medal-winning Olympic hockey player Shona McCallan, MBE. Check out her meat box." I don't even get why that's funny.
Rich.
This is from Gumtree. Advert, large wooden framed mirror. The frame has a couple of light dents, but otherwise is in pervert condition.
Thank you, and now let's take a look at the final score. Kiri and Rich have 9, but this week's winners are Hugo and Katie with 11. Before we leave you, here is a warning to competitors in the 2017 Bath Half Marathon.
Please do not bring plastic bin bags to wear. We've had runners tripping over them and they just end up in landfill.
And with that, goodbye!
Taking part in the news quiz were Hugo Rifkin, Katie Brand, Kiri Pritchard-McLean and Rich Hall. In the chair was Miles Jupp and the news is read by me, Neil Sweet. The chair's script was written by Sarah Campbell, James Kettle and Mike Shepherd, with additional material by Raoul Coley and Jenny LaVille. The producer was Richard Morris, and it was a BBC Studios production.